This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The ayes are 52, the nays are 47, and one senator responded present. The nomination is confirmed.
And with that, Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, is the new attorney general. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start. And we start and talk about the tsunami always on this show that emanates from Washington and how it affects your life and mine. It's that buzz in the backyard. Justin Duckham joins us right from the get-go from Talk Media News. Hi, Justin.
Hey, great to be here.
So the reaction to Jeff Sessions, because we know that there have been a lot of conversation over this.
There certainly has been. You know, it seems like there was a lot of controversy in the lead up to this that kind of took away some of the drama to it. Obviously, on the Senate floor last night, there was Elizabeth Warren being told that under Rule 19, under the Senate kind of parliamentary procedure, she was not allowed to read a speech by Coretta Scott King because it was viewed as impugning a senator since it criticized him and his actions that he took as Attorney General of Alabama. So that really kind of, you know, ate up a good chunk of the day. But Sessions was confirmed by the Senate. There was Joe Manchin crossing party lines and voting for him and certainly causing a lot of ire among some of the more, you know, hardcore members of the progressive Democratic base. But either way, he is going to be moving forward there. And for the administration, at least, it's not a moment too soon, considering that they have taken on a lot of, I guess, questionable legal practices without having anybody running the helm at the State Department. So, you know, it looks like it may be kind of approaching something more of a sense of normalcy in terms of what administrations typically look like when they're carrying on actions like these.
And then besides that, I think there still is reaction to Betsy DeVos. And has that, because we're kind of moving through the various cabinet positions, once that happens, is it kind of, you know, is in Washington, is it kind of like an exhale and then you move on to what's next?
You know, I think that's probably a, you know, pretty good way of describing it. But either way, it did kind of show what exactly can happen when Democrats have this sort of wind in their sails. There was, you know, a huge push from the base of the party to move forward with this. There was, you know, a huge campaign to target Republican senators as well. You know, we ended up seeing Murkowski and Collins, the senators from Alaska and Maine, respectively, crossing party lines and moving forward. And ultimately kind of embarrassing the administration in the sense that they didn't have overwhelming support. This was something that had to be fought tooth and nail and ultimately had to have Pence come in there. So I think the sort of impact of what can be done is, you know, hanging around that. But in terms of, you know, this dominating the conversation, that kind of had a short shelf life. And I think for the most part, people have moved on, but I'm sure it's kind of provided a blueprint for what to do the next time around.
Yeah, then the other big thing is the Sean Spicer press briefings. The White House press secretary today saying that critics of the Yemen raid, including Senator John McCain, should apologize for not calling this a success. But immediately McCain rejected that and said, I don't need to listen to that nonsense. Wow. I thought that was pretty big.
It certainly was. You know, this was Sean Spicer today saying that anybody who questions whether or not who questions if the raid was a success is doing a disservice to Ryan Owen's family. That was something that did not sit well with McCain. You know, Spicer did not specifically mention McCain by name, but when he was asked if this would include McCain, he, you know, essentially just kind of signaled that this means anybody who questions that. You know, McCain did respond to this, as you mentioned. He said, you know, basically, he's an old Navy guy, somebody who really doesn't think he should be questioned on this. You know, gave a pretty stirring story saying that when he was in a POW camp, there was a mission to try to rescue them. The people who were involved in that were heroes, but the mission itself did not move forward as planned. It was a, you know, prison that was evacuated. So therefore, the mission was a failure, despite the fact that those involved were heroes. So Hamet brings some probably much-needed nuance to this sort of definition that Spicer put forward, this idea that, you know, our service members can be considered heroes, even if the missions that they're moving forward with don't necessarily go as planned.
Yeah, and you know this. It seems like we almost need a scorecard for how many tweets the president puts out, what it's about, what the reaction is. And, the president slammed Nordstrom's today on Twitter for dropping Ivanka Trump's line. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes, I did. That was pretty interesting. And not just that. That was a tweet that initially came from the president's personal account, then was retweeted by the official presidential Twitter account, which is a, you know, I guess publicly owned account. It's funded through taxpayer money, considering, you know, just to whatever extent that matters. Something that was official and certainly raised some eyebrows. The White House really doubled down on this today. Sean Spicer essentially came out and said that Trump has every right to do this, saying that, you know, this was essentially an attack on his administration's policies, despite the fact that Nordstrom had come out pretty strongly and said that this was not about politics. This was about the fact that Ivanka Trump's product line had weaker sales, you know, throughout the campaign, probably due to the controversy that Trump was bringing about. But that was not something that, you know, Nordstrom in particular took into their decision. So a, you know, pretty bizarre tweet, something that really raised some questions over whether or not it's necessarily presidential to be jumping into the business affairs of a private company just because they, you know, have a threat against your daughter in some sort of odd, you know, way of looking at that situation. But something that did happen and something that I don't think you've seen from any previous president in terms of just the brazenness of it.
Yeah, boy, that's for sure. No doubt about that. All right, Justin Duckham, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. So we go from the Nordstrom's tweet to some of the fallout on a few other events happening in D.C. So, you know, here we start with politics. As I said, it is the tsunami that we're always weathering on all sides of this thing. And it's interesting. I was looking at this appeals court ruling possibility on the travel ban, but it's not expected to come down as soon as I think people thought that it was going to come down. The judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals are going to provide notice before they issue a decision on the case that won't come or didn't come on Wednesday, meaning that it's going to have to be at least another day, probably, to learn what the future of the executive order is. Because remember, the president signed an order January 27th that put a temporary halt on people coming to the United States from the seven countries with a terror presence, Iraq, Syria, excuse me, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. And the order also halted the refugee program from those nations for 120 days and the Syrian refugee program indefinitely. Because of the back and forth about the ban, the everything has kind of just fallen back to where it was. So a lot is hinging on these decisions. I wouldn't be surprised if the immigration order does reach the Supreme Court. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jeff Cruere, columnist, author of the book America's Last Chance. Hang with us, everybody.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to be joined on the show by Jeff Kruer. As I mentioned, he's got that book out called America's Last Chance. He's a former Trump delegate from Louisiana and state co-chair for the Louisiana Trump campaign. And you know what's really, really cool? We are on the same station in New Orleans, one of my favorite places, on 990 WBSO in the Big Easy. He's on during the day and does ringside politics. We're on later at night. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be on with you, and we're excited to have you on WGSO. So welcome aboard.
Thanks. Love it. We'll be getting down there pretty soon, and you and I will have to hook up for some of those. Well, you know what I'm going to say, right? What are we going to eat with,
oysters,
what are we going to eat with
crawfish,
our coffee?
Crab.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. All of those. All the above, right. Sounds really, really good to me. So it's funny. I thought of you, actually, with what happened with Elizabeth Warren. What was your reaction initially when you saw what was happening there?
You know, I look at her as just sort of a grandstander. I mean, I look at her as someone who knew what was going on, knew what she was doing, knew that she was pushing the envelope and violating the Senate rules. And I really think she's doing it for the publicity. You know, she went on YouTube and made her full statement, and she got millions of views. So I guess this has raised her profile. And now she's saying that I guess the Senate was sexist toward her, or somehow they're spinning it as that, you know, let her speak so that she can make herself to be the victim. But it was a good opportunity for her to make some political hay out of it, but I just think of Jeff Sessions, who I've met, and someone who I know, and someone who is a very honorable man, and I really think her charge that he's a racist is just despicable. I mean, that's not Jeff Sessions, and I think the people that know him can vouch for his character.
Yeah, so speaking of Jeff Sessions, I hear this all unfolds in Washington, a new AG. What do you think we can expect from Sessions?
Well, I think he's going to be the kind of AG that we've been waiting for probably since Ed Meese. I mean, I'm thinking that he's going to be hopefully able to restore confidence in the Justice Department. We've really suffered under Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch and... First order of business, I think, is to put in some new U.S. attorneys all over the country. And I know that we've got a lot of people that have contacted me for the New Orleans area that are interested in being U.S. attorney here. So he just needs to get his team in place, and I think they really need to do that all over the government. I mean, I think one of the problems is that the president's dealing with a sort of an Obama bureaucracy, and he's got to start getting his people into these various positions.
Yeah, and you know, that's key. And, of course, I think behind the scenes, because he's a guy, as you know, really likes to prepare, really is ready to move forward, and I think he just dives right into this.
I think he's been chomping at the bit. I mean, I think he's been ready to go. And we've had to put him on hold now for 3 weeks. So, I mean, and the thing about it is that these were his colleagues. These were people that knew him. And he didn't get but one Democrat vote, which I think is pretty sad. I mean, I think there's a level of partisanship here that is just really disappointing. Because I know when Obama put his people forward, Republicans acted quicker. He got his people in place sooner. And for this president, it's a lot of obstruction and delay, and it's been tough.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you on that. Why do you think that is? What do you think it's the transition from Obama, what happened in the election, what happened leading up to the election? What's the reason for that?
I think it's all of the above, and then you mix in Trump's personality, which I think a lot of people like, but a lot of people don't. And I think the closeness to the election and the fact that some Democrats are still unable to accept it. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it looks to me like all these people that are out there protesting and creating a ruckus have not accepted the election results. And I think that's really sad. I mean, I think we're going to have a very rough next few months and years. I mean, I think we're going to have constant political battles, and the president's going to have to be aggressive to get his agenda through. And I don't think the Democrats are going to really be reaching across the aisle to try to work with him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think we're going to have constant battles, too, be at odds worse than we've seen in a long time. How about this immigration order? Do you think it eventually reaches the Supreme Court?
I do. I think this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is a pretty liberal court, and I think it's got the reputation of being the most liberal. So I don't see them siding with the Trump administration. I see this where the rule against the Trump administration, the Department of Justice will then appeal it, and then it'll go to the Supreme Court. And the question is, I mean, is it going to go to a Supreme Court with 8 members or 9 members? And how soon will they be able to get this Supreme Court nominee confirmed? So it's all because if it's a 4-4 vote at the Supreme Court, then the lower court decision is not overturned, is retained. So this whole thing then could be wiped out. And I know it's very central to what the president's trying to do as far as dealing with the threat of radical Islamic terrorism.
Yeah, and of course, what he ran on initially, as you know, right from the very beginning, before he was even, when he was just kind of testing the waters, he was even talking about that. And the other thing was health care and Obamacare. And how quickly do you think we'll see the real repeal of Obamacare?
That is a great question. I was hoping that we would see it quickly. I mean, all these Republicans were running on this plan. And they said that they wanted it, and I thought that when we got them a president, we got them the House, we got them the Senate, we got them a president, they have the whole shooting match now. You would think that they would go ahead and get it done, but I'm hearing through my sources that this is going to be delayed. We're looking at next year, maybe. And the tax cut plan is not going to be proposed and moved through anytime soon. So everything is on delay. And I don't know. I think that's a problem because I think when they were elected, the American people expected action. I mean, I was involved in the Tea Party back in 2009, 2010, and we expected action back then, and we never got it. So we've been waiting seven, 8 years for action. So I'm really upset to hear that they're delaying it, and I think we need to keep the pressure on them to try to speed up that timetable. I think that's the key, is the grassroots, to put pressure on these guys to move quicker.
Yeah, and I agree with you on the timetable, and you see people, the outrageous premiums, the problems, all the implications. If this continues to go the way that it is, I think it's really strangling people's lives. Certainly, it's helping them.
I'm an example of that. I mean, my premiums went up 600%, and my deductible skyrocketed. I lost my doctor. So everything Obama promised was a lie and didn't apply to me.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of other people in the same boat.
Yeah, I lost my doctor, too. And my doctor, though, was such a good guy that he will just take, like, cash or figure out a way to do it because he was so disheartened by so many people that couldn't come to him any longer. And he figured, I'm going to figure out a way around this. I'm going to figure out a way to work this out, however I have to work the system out. But it has been terrible for lots and lots of people. So you and I are prime examples.
Good for him, and I'm glad he did that. I know a lot of doctors that just said, hey, the heck with it, and they got out of medicine. They just left the whole field.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's not what it was when they started in medicine, and I think it just became progressively harder to make a living and provide for their family like they wanted. And then Obamacare, I think, was just not well received by the doctors that I know. So I think there's a majority in the country that really want to get this thing repealed and replaced, but all these Republicans are worried about all the new people that have been added under Obamacare. How are they going to take care of them? You know, what is going to be the exact procedure? So they're trying to work through all those details. And I'm just wondering, what have they been doing for 8 years? I mean, why didn't they have all this done a long time ago?
Before. Yeah, that's a long time. Absolutely. Jeff Cruer, thanks so much for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
I tell everybody, too, pick up his book, America's Last Chance. Get it on Amazon. Good stuff. On the flip side, we're talking about numbers. We can count next on ATN.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Numbers in a couple of different directions, and it includes, how about this? It's kind of a crazy deal, but border officers found about 2 tons of weed camouflaged as limes. I know I've told this story a bunch on these airwaves, but I spent a week with the Border Patrol, and some of what I saw and some of what came through, like in Juarez and Tijuana, it was crazy. So at first glance, and I looked at the photos, and this is radio, so it looks like limes. You look at a shipment of, like, this fruit. They don't, but here's the deal. They don't contain the citrus juice you would squeeze into your margarita. Instead, they're packed full of marijuana. So officers in a remote area of Texas, in far Texas, seized about 3,900 pounds of weed in a commercial shipment of these key limes. The truck hauling the produce crossed the international bridge, you know, near the Gulf of Mexico, and over 34,000 of the fake fruit packages were discovered by somebody who was inspecting and you know, found it. They said it's just a crazy interception of narcotics. that the knowledge of the smuggling techniques continues to get better and better among the people on duty that are part of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection folks. So the drugs were valued at, you know, almost $800,000. It's not the first time, I guess, smugglers tried to use fake produce to bring drugs into the United States. They've tried that before. They've done it with carrots, I guess, was one way to put it in through carrots. Boy, that's... So you think that, like, they're sitting around, I'm just thinking, is this like a brainstorming thing? You're sitting around at the table and say, hey, so how are we going to get that marijuana across the border? What do you say? What do you say? Go around the table and everybody has to come up with an idea. I know. Let's bury it in the fruit. But we have to do it perfectly, so we have to jam it in there, get it there just right. And if we do it just right, maybe, just maybe, they won't notice. And, I mean, now that every time a method is exposed, I think it makes it easier to imagine that there are other types of produce that could be used to do the very same thing. If you are listening to me in the Northeast, or perhaps if you're taking a plane somewhere in the Northeast, think again. It's a snowstorm that is predicted to be unbearable. In Philadelphia, they've, you know, basically said no planes in ahead of time. And it's interesting because in Massachusetts, kind of the same thing, looking for snow that is just going to pound the Northeast. And the best way, so New York, Boston, etc., schools closed, they're just closing them ahead of time. Because you look at a weather map, and you know when you see that pretty blue, really thick blue? I used to be a weather person for 2 seconds in Kearney, Nebraska when I first got out of school. So you see this blue and then this white mixed in with it, and it looks pretty. It's bad. That's the bad stuff. And I knew that's one of the first things I learned. So New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said that his city is going to close the schools. About 1 million students. They go to like 1,800 public schools. New York, Philly, storm's going to hit daybreak, 30-mile-an-hour winds, whiteout conditions. So that's it. They're talking about maybe a foot of snow in some areas. Even the Connecticut governor, he's saying state colleges, courts, all that's going to be closed. And like I said, if you look up flights, you're not getting into... You're just not getting into Newark. You're not getting into Boston, any of the New York airports, any of those airports in Massachusetts. It's pretty bad. However, the snow could just fall all over those areas and then disappear. And it's not going to do much to Washington. They say they're going to get perhaps less than half an inch of snow on Thursday morning. So they're not expecting them to get, hit by this nor'easter, just those few areas that I mentioned. And, of course, the 30-mile-an-hour winds, the whiteout, all that kind of stuff is icky. And so depending on how much it is, if you get that icy thing afterwards, oh, the worst. I have to say I don't miss that. I don't miss having our satellite studio in Texas. I don't miss snow. Getting a little bit of snow is fun. Having to shovel and deal with a lot of snow, oof, it's a whole different ball of wax. As many of you know who are listening to me in the Midwest and some of our other great affiliates, of course, out there. All right, how about this? This is... a feel-good story. We need some feel-good stories, right, mixed in? It's about the numbers, like I said. So we've talked about marijuana and snowstorms, and how about a little piece of history that's pretty interesting? An eighth grader made some school history, and made the history by jumping across boundaries of a sort. And so when I say that, you know, I'm talking about in Broken in Broken Arrow, rather, easy for me to say. What happened was this eighth grader beat the boys. Yes. Didn't we have a story like that the other day? I think we did. We had a different story, but it wasn't an eighth grader. It was somebody else. It was a full-fledged wrestler that did it. So, you know, that used to be the thing, that you couldn't beat the boys. And in Broken Arrow, Allison Haynes wrestled at this middle school, made history by winning the Edmund Invitational. She became, this is what's cool, and this is why I'm telling you this, Haynes was the first girl to ever win the Invitational, which was started in 1942. The most outstanding wrestler for the entire tournament across all weight classes. And she says she's been wrestling since fourth grade. She just likes it. And she said she wishes more girls would take up the sport. And she said, I think I make them a little bit nervous. The boys, you know, I'm not here for just the game. I'm here to win. So she says, I don't want you to look at me that way. I'm here because I like being here. I like doing this. So I'm not just, you know, trying to wrestle and feel good about that. I'm trying to feel like I can win because it's about winning. And I think that's very, very cool. And that confidence, good for her that she has the confidence. And apparently, from what I read, I was reading a little piece about it in a local paper that actually she hasn't had any problems. So the boys that she's wrestled against and some of the other teams are fine with it. There's not a lot of teasing or any of that kind of thing, which you could imagine could certainly happen, but is not happening. Certainly it's not happening there. I read another little interesting piece earlier in the day because I was thinking about taxes. Oh, yes. How many of you? Raise your hand. I have the special glasses that I can count everybody's hands. How many of you have done your taxes? You know, why is it? It's just the thing that we put off, right? I'm actually not bad about keeping track of everything. But in the end, it always seems like it comes down to maybe a month out. So there was a deal I read about kind of crazy tax laws. And here's one of them. In Missouri, there's a bachelor's tax. So if you're an unmarried man between 21 and 50 in Missouri, you get to bear a higher tax burden than your married neighbor. Missouri taxes bachelors $1 per year, costing, some long-term, I guess, dwellers about 30 in total. This law goes back to 1820 when the value of the dollar was equal to about 20 today. How about that? So if you're a bachelor, you get the extra dollar tax. And I guess if you live there, that's, you know, for your life, that would add up. In New Hampshire, no income tax and no sales tax. Most states have either an income tax and a sales tax or one or the other. Some sales taxes are very low if income taxes or other taxes are high, and it just depends. But they're neither one. So they don't have it because of property taxes. So see, usually there's a balance in some other way. It's offset. In South Carolina, where I just was visiting a couple of weeks ago, you get a tax deduction for charity meat. So you can shrink your tax bill that way. Licensed meat processors get a $50 tax deduction if they process a deer carcass and donate it to charity. So $50 per carcass. If you follow the tax laws, that can probably add up. 20 carcasses, do the math, that's $1,000. You know, so how about that? Also in South Carolina, a pre-marriage counseling tax credit. Tax credits are given to those who do that. $50 if a couple getting married goes through at least 6 hours of qualified premarital counseling. Wow. Odds and ends coming up around the bend.
This is a life life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-0405. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-0405. Again, that's 1-800-441-0405.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
The idea that we should sit back and not fully appreciate the constant threat that we're in is week after week, month after month, that we're hearing of another instance, another wolf, et cetera, et cetera, that is going throughout this country, actually throughout the world. And so I think what the president is doing is trying to make sure that the American people understand that he's doing everything he can to protect them and to keep our institutions and our people safe is absolutely a success. And I think anyone who would suggest it's not a success does disservice to the life of Chief Ryan Owens. He fought knowing what was at stake in that mission, and anybody who would suggest otherwise doesn't fully appreciate how successful that mission was, what the information that they were able to retrieve was, and how that will help prevent future terrorist attacks.
The Yemen raid and the travel ban for those seven countries where there are known terrorists or terrorist groups, Muslim countries, part of what was discussed at the daily briefing that was Sean Spicer, the press secretary at the White House, you just heard there. We started the show talking a little bit about that, and then, of course, here we are in odds and ends, and we don't know where the travel ban will end up. It could certainly get kicked all the way up to the Supreme Court. And with the way it's looking with the back and forth, and, of course, with the Ninth Circuit, it's doubtful that the travel ban holds up. So that 120 days that was initially signed in, you just ixnay that. And then once it gets up, all the way. We'll see where that goes, but that's going to take a little bit of time for that to happen. The other biggies, of course, Senator Jeff Sessions confirmed as the Attorney General. It was a 52-47 vote, and it was a big battle over Sessions' nomination to be the Attorney General. And, of course, the debate was dominated by the formal rebuke of Senator Elizabeth Warren, and there's been reaction to that all the way around. Very, very, very polarizing, this whole thing. And it just shows where we are on the Hill, certainly, because now more than ever, it's about partisanship. You know, forget the days of, okay, I want to strangle you when we're discussing this, this, and this, but somehow we're going to come to an agreement, we're going to figure out a way to come to a compromise that we both can agree to, meaning Democrats and Republicans. I mean, that's not even worth wasting my breath on, because that's not what's happening. It's funny, I have a painting in my house that my brother gave me. He had somebody do it for me. And, you know, pulled his pennies together when he was in law school. And it's of the oldest tavern in the United States. And you know where that is? It's in Philadelphia, because that's where we grew up, in Philly, outside of Philly, you know, just over the bridge. And it's a really cool place. It's called City Tavern. And what's cool about it, and he knew I liked it, is because I like history, is that our forefathers went there. And the founding fathers went there, and that's where they would hash it out. You know, like they wanted to pound on each other, and they would hash out this and hash out that, and this is what we're doing with the Declaration of Independence, and this is what I don't like, and this was you like. They go back and forth about that, and eventually settle their differences, and then they came together. And of course, it's a great document, and that's what they did. And so I have this cool. I just have this cool painting, and it reminds me of that, and it's how it looked back then, how it would have looked back then when Benjamin Franklin went in, and when Thomas Jefferson was there, and when George Washington was occasionally around. And what would they think now? You know, they have those movies, those crazy movies where people are transported back in time. There's even a television show now. They always recycle them that's going on about kind of a way to transport yourself through time, especially through history. What would their reaction be to what we see happening in Washington at this moment? I think they would be disappointed. Disappointed that it's just that constant, here's the line, and that's it. Here's the line, and that's it. Because I don't think we're going to get very much cooperation. Less than maybe ever. Less than maybe ever, ever, ever before. All right, part of odds and ends is oddball stuff, like Charles Oakley, who used to play for the Knicks. If you don't know him, he was a pretty popular player in a sense. He's pretty good. So he was known to be pretty physical. He was arrested during the Knicks home game on Wednesday. Why would this former player be arrested? Everybody knows who he is, and they say hi to him, ask for selfies and autographs and everything else. They say he was arrested for what they called abusive behavior in the floor seats. Wow, how do you get accused of abusive behavior in the floor seats? I mean, this is a beloved former Nick. Got into an altercation with security guards midway through the first quarter. They had to remove him from Madison Square Garden, and he was handcuffed. They had to handcuff him. It became like a wild circus, this crazy feud. And, it unfolded. It just happened. Oakley was sitting courtside in an aisle seat in the first row near the Knicks bench. He'd been calm during the game. He took a photograph with a fan, see what I said, a couple of rows higher. And James Dolan, the Knicks owner, has kind of a contentious relationship, but he was nearby, and there wasn't any words between them. There wasn't any provocation that they could see. But then the next thing you know, Oakley said something to the guard when he walked by, and the guard came over, asked him. So, I mean, it just turned into insanity. And, of course, people immediately pulled their cell phones out, if they weren't already out, and they started to film everything that they could see with the chaos going on. And I just felt awful for him. I mean, what was it that led to the handcuff deal and, you know, this former Nick Grape? You may say it. That must have been something. It must have been something that really set that guard off, because I just can't imagine them doing that. All right, so for odds and ends, too, I would throw this in here. You know, we've talked a lot about what happened in Greece with the debt. We were on the air when everything was unfolding, certainly doing America Tonight, as we've been doing this for almost a decade. And with the global stock markets climbing, there are a lot of concerns over investors that these debt troubles in Greece and Italy, and I just read something about this, will put a strain on, guess what? The euro. Yep. So there's been this aggressive bond buying by the European Central Bank and this encouragement of a little bit of growth in Europe, but eventually that central bank is going to what? They're going to dump the government bonds and other assets, and investors realize that it's been a sell-off of European government bonds. And they're just kind of trying to hold. I mean, Italy's debt has risen to 133% from 123%. In Greece, debt has increased to 183% of the country's total economy from 159%. There is some harsh realities going on. High debt, think about it. Dysfunctional banking systems, brutal growth, low growth, no growth, you know, whatever it is. And that's it. That's where they're at. And that's the big threat. You look at our debt, and yet it's hardly ever discussed. And now we've got a new administration. Let's see what happens there. Because you can't just continue to push off, push off, push off. Because eventually you just drown in the whole thing. And we can see this it happening, and have been watching this happen in other countries, without a doubt. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Brouse, Director of Media and Community Relations with Publix Supermarkets. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Publix for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.